Welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, sponsored by the Popeyes Chicken Sandwich. I'm Marcellus Wiley. Coming up, we'll tell you if Cam Newton will make sense in New England and if the Packers have messed up everything with Aaron Rodgers this offseason. But right now, I'm joined by LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks. Let's start off with Colin Kaepernick. In the wake of protests across the country and around the world, Roger Goodell released a video admitting that the NFL was wrong in its approach to protests and now supports the players in their push for change. Well, now a former teammate of Caps, Carlos Hyde, says if the league is serious, they need to get Kaepernick back on a roster to show they are actually willing to move in a new direction. But Bucky, I'll start with you. Do you think Cap will be on an NFL team this year?
Look, I think he faces long guys to get back onto the roster, but I think he will, because I think this is a moment where the league kind of has to atone for itself and what happened to Colin Kaepernick after the protest and all of that. Now, from Colin Kaepernick's standpoint, man, coming off a four-year layoff when his game was really built off his athleticism and his arm talent, it is hard to say that someone can retain that level of athleticism. So coming into the league at his best, we're talking about a backup quarterback opportunity. Someone will have to be willing to give him a backup opportunity where he can shake the rust off. It reminds me a lot of Michael Vick when he got his opportunity in Philadelphia. Mike will admit it took him a long time to get his legs back, and then it wasn't until that next offseason where he was able to play. I think if Kaepernick gets an opportunity, and I think he will, it will have to take a year before he is anywhere close to the Colin Kaepernick that we last saw when he was on the field in 2016.
It sounds cute, Bucky, and I appreciate how you presented that. Carlos Hyde's presentation of it, I get it. It's an act of solidarity and camaraderie, but it's an absolute no. He won't be on a roster. He won't ever be on a roster. And I think people need to understand that Kaepernick is basically a victim of his own popularity at this point. It will never be what you just made it, Bucky. It will never be a pure football conversation. Everything that happens, it'll be easy to bring him in for a workout. If there's a drop ball, there's going to be a problem. If he's talked to the wrong way, there's going to be a problem. If it doesn't work out, there's going to be a problem. There's only been one player that I can think of that has risen to such an iconic status in terms of what they represented to the community and the struggle, and that's Jim Brown. Now, if you think about Jim Brown and his career versus Colin Kaepernick and his career, we never once talked about Kaepernick has only started two and a half seasons before he lost his job in week 9 to Blaine Gabbert. Now, that's interesting because there were multiple surgeries. We don't talk about Kaepernick's health, right? He got a knee surgery. He got a thumb surgery, a shoulder surgery. He's never been a Pro Bowler, never been an All-Pro. So it's not like he's ever been this elite football player, guys. So now we're talking about a guy that's been removed from the game this long, and the only reason why you're really going to give him a chance at this point is out of guilt. It's not out of what's going to be best for that team. It's going to be out of what's best for the community that he's serving. I don't know who it's serving. I don't know what the purpose of it would be, and I don't see it working out, Marcellus.
Ooh, you took me there, and I agree with you, LeVar. I don't think it's going to happen. Look, let's be real. If the NFL truly has an attitude change, then it's going to look empty without changing the actions. And right now they're saying all the right things, and I think a lot of people out there are hoping that they do the right thing. So Carlos Hyde is implying that, and I understand where that's coming from. But based on talent, he should have been on the roster. But as we all know as former players, that talent is never the full conversation. It's never the full equation. So when you look at Colin Kaepernick, you got to start to understand that he finds himself in a place for different reasons than a Tim Tebow does, that a Cam Newton right now does, and even a Johnny Manziel on a lesser talent level does, for other reasons. And let's talk about those other reasons, how Kaepernick himself went nuclear on the resources and the human capital that he now needs as an ally to get him an opportunity. Let's respect what that looks like in terms of the conversation when you're talking about his unemployment issue. Let's remember now, this all started with Colin Kaepernick taking a silent protest, a knee, and explaining it and donating $1 million of his own. His owner, Jed York, did the same exact thing. An owner in the NFL gave $1 million. I guess the only attachment was, Colin, can you meet with the police chiefs in our area to continue the conversation? Kaepernick stood him up. A owner who was given $1 million to the cause, and he was stood up. Let's continue that. Another owner, Steve Bisciotti, who was compared to a slave owner, and Ray Lewis, Mr. Florida himself. Like, Deion Sanders and Ray Lewis damn near run the league. You know how them Florida boys act. They respect their idols, man. And Ray Lewis was also put in a position where he was called a sellout, a coon, a slave. These are allies to your cause right now if you're talking about employment, Colin Kaepernick. Let's continue with the pig socks. And a lot of people try to dismiss that, but people forget that the NFL employs the police force, uses the police union, off-duty cops, FBI, in terms of our travel, in terms of our security, and making sure that we're safe as players. So when you start to look at it in its totality, Malcolm Jenkins, Anquan Boldin, Players Coalition, which is in alliance with the NFL, they're all sellouts and coons. Boy, look at all these landmines right now that you see in the field. He sued the entire NFL. And I understand that was an employment issue, but when you're talking about human capital returning to those same individuals trying to get a second chance, let's just say I don't think they'll extend an olive branch.
Well, here's the thing, and I understand all that, and all of those things are valid points. And I think Colin Kaepernick has to make a decision when it comes to coming back in. As noble as it may seem for the people that support him, for him to come into the league or re-enter the league, all guns blazing in terms of, like, hot takes and emotional responses and those things. For him to come into the league and come back into the locker room, he's going to be doing it as a number two. And a number two quarterback has to understand his role within the framework of the team. The starting quarterback is going to get all of the attention. Your job is to back up the starting quarterback, to be ready if your number is called, but to be a good teammate. And so to be a good teammate, he is going to have to toe the line. And whatever that team is, it's going to be that team's way. And if he is willing to acquiesce to those demands, he has a chance. And in thinking of a team where he might be the perfect fit, I am going to say the Seattle Seahawks, just because of what Pete Carroll said, the fact that Russell Wilson is there, and the fact that they are in desperate need of a backup quarterback. He gives them something that they haven't had, a high-quality backup who can work on his game while he's developing. They have a starter that is very durable and dependable. I think if he does come back to the league, there's only a handful of teams, but I think the Seattle Seahawks will be one of those teams that could welcome him back.
No way. No way. No way. And I'm going to tell you why. Here's why I'm going to tell you. If Kaepernick is signed to a team and he's on that team, Kaepernick is now a symbol. He's a symbol more than he is a player. So anything that takes place, now think about this. I'm going to take heat. You brought up how the names are referenced, Marcellus, and I read the comments on social media. We get smashed for talking about Kaepernick. Imagine the coach. Imagine the team and the organization, right? You bring him in. He doesn't stay healthy. There's a conspiracy. If he doesn't play well and can't maintain second string, there's a conspiracy. If he gets hit too hard in practice, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a conspiracy. The idea that Kaepernick could come in and be what he needs to be as a teammate would never be in question. I don't think anybody would question if Kaepernick can fall in line and be a great teammate. That's not the question. The bottom line is, the point is that he can't control that following that is connected to him now. So if something were to happen, The minute you bring him in, you have the pressure of making that work. Because if it doesn't work, you are now running the line. You are towing the line of your team and your franchise being boycotted. You're not gonna sit well with his following and his community as it applies to the people that feel so deeply about Colin Kaepernick. And for that, it's going to, whether people want to admit it or not, I'm just shooting from the hip, that is going to scare any employer away. Not just the NFL. That's going to scare any employer away from someone that has that type of power and that type of following. And that's something that you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, the NFL looks at this situation and is really trying to figure which way is up in terms of Colin Kaepernick and his employment. Employment, not what he's standing for in the cause, because Colin Kaepernick is for the cause, but he's not the cause. If you think that, then you don't know your history of this country. Countless others have led this protest and led this conversation before Colin Kaepernick was even on this planet. But if you're the NFL, you're like, okay, we're not getting the proper credit right now. Do you know that the NFL employs over 70% of our people, black people, to its workforce and makes them millionaires? Name another industry that's doing that. It's gonna get quiet out there, y'all. And I think the NFL's looking at that situation like, what do we do in this situation? You can't hide Colin Kaepernick. Bucky, I understand your point. As a backup, he's going to be a good guy of character, a good teammate. I believe that in Colin Kaepernick. The problem is every team faces adversity. And the most popular guy on any team that is facing adversity or struggling is the backup quarterback, because he's the savior. He has all your hopes. So I don't know if Kaepernick is even incentivized to play. Think about it. He has a tremendous impact, probably greater impact not playing, and he's making money not playing as well. I remind people, if you're a Nike endorser, you're not unemployed. There is a check coming to your house every single month. So you put all that in totality, man. Based on talent, he should have been there. But based on these circumstances, I don't see him playing this year. Coming up, Cam Newton is out here making all kinds of cryptic comments. We'll tell you what to make of them next. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Marcellus Wiley here, presented by Hyundai. Back with LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks. See, I got it right. Let's move to Cam Newton, who may not have a new job, but still has plenty to say on social media, posting another one of his cryptic inspirational messages on Instagram, writing, quote, "Never dim your lights to make others comfortable. Shine through the shade, not just for likes, just for life. One love." One love. Bucky, what is Cam trying to say here?
Oh, Cam is just letting everyone know that he still has a starter's mentality. And even though people are trying to peg him as a backup quarterback if he's going to play in the league, he's letting everyone know, remember, I'm the number one overall pick. I'm a former Super Bowl MVP. I will not step back and just settle for a quarterback position. Even though you may bring me in as a backup quarterback, I'm pushing to be a starter. I believe that I'm a starter. I'm going to play like I'm a starter. I just think Cam is showing off his alpha dog mentality and just letting the world know he is still the Cam Newton that a lot of people grew to love all over.
I totally agree with you, Bucks. And that certainly is the cryptic message that I took from those words. But here's what he should have said. I'm turning off the dimmer and turning it on full blast light so y'all can clearly see who Cam is and why I feel the way that I feel. Because right now, I feel like Cam is the only one that can see what's clear about Cam. No one else is interpreting what Cam is trying to do the way Cam is right now. It made me start thinking about a segment we did yesterday on this show, Marcellus, about AB. Maybe Cam needs to go and be the next person on Country Prime's property, because I feel as though the message coming from Cam right now is getting, you know, all tangled up, and maybe there are people behind the scenes close to Cam that are putting things out there that aren't as flattering as Cam may be thinking of himself. he may need an advocate, someone like a Deion Sanders that can put that message out there and it be received in a way that's more impactful than what he's got going on social media, Marcellus.
I hear that, but I think his message is only getting tangled up by those who want to twist it, because it's clear to me what Cam is trying to say to everybody. Stop trying to compromise me. Like, it's comfortable for you guys to suggest I should take the Jameis Winston route. And let's talk about the Jameis Winston route, who was just the number one overall pick and is now a third stringer for a $1 million deal. If you think about that in a vacuum, only one other situation comes to mind that's worse than that, and that's a Jamarcus Russell, who was a number one overall pick. And then 2 years later, the dude is, like, out the league. Like, Cam is like, what are y'all suggesting to me right now? Do you guys remember who I am before I was injured? I was an MVP candidate. Like, this was only a couple of years ago. And then Cam Newton went out there and played through the injuries, and we saw his play diminish. But let's not get it twisted. Cam is not a sorry player. Cam was just the injured player that tried to plow through it. So what Cam is just trying to remind us of is separate the signal from the noise, damn it. I am Cam Newton. I am healthy. I will be back, and I will be back to MVP form.
Yeah, I agree with you, Marcellus. I think so much of the Cam narrative has kind of taken us away from how good Cam Newton once was. And I think for most people, when they get injured, we kind of give them their due, give them a pass. Because Cam has been injured the last 2 years, we have kind of made it where, oh, it's all over for Cam Newton. But you know what? Tom Brady missed time. Tom Brady tore an ACL and came back. Mm. We saw Drew Brees a season ago miss time. When you play quarterback in the National Football League, you're susceptible to bumps and bruises. I think what everyone is worried about, can Cam Newton continue to play the way that he has always played, that rugged style of quarterback? I'm going to say yes, because that's the only way that he can play. Now it's about opportunity. In a league where I'm looking at Nathan Peterman, Matt Barkley, Mike Glennon as backup quarterbacks, there's no way you can tell me that Cam Newton doesn't deserve to be on the roster. The pandemic has slowed and dimmed his chances of being able to get on the roster right now. But make no mistake, Cam Newton's going to play in the league, and I think he's going to eventually be a starter again.
Yeah, Cam Newton, like, I'm the Gucci store. Ain't no sale prices here. You see it, you want it. If you don't want it, don't get it. Get out the damn store. You got to look at it. If Cam Newton would have had Kawhi Leonard's mentality, and I get it, it's a guaranteed contract sport, so it's easy to have that mentality in basketball. But if Cam were Kawhi between the ears when he was injured, oh, he'd be on a $30 million contract right now, because he wouldn't have given them bad film based on his performances. So he rushed back from injury. That's what the football culture tells you to do. He took that risk, and he's not getting rewarded for it, and people are actually forgetting who Cam Newton is. I haven't. I understand where you're coming from, Cam. Well, reportedly, the market for Cam, we know, has cooled off, and the quarterback is still going to take some time in signing with a team. But there's an opportunity as a starter, some were suggesting, maybe if it's in New England. Bleacher Report predicts the best landing spot for Newton is New England, who did express some interest in the former quarterback earlier in the offseason. Bucky, you think Cam makes sense in New England?
I absolutely love Cam Newton in New England. When you go back and you look at Cam Newton playing against the Patriots, he's undefeated. He had his best career, his career high in passer rating against the Patriots. He has been phenomenal when he's had an opportunity to play against Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, the one thing that you know, someone who gives Bill Belichick problems, he always has a tendency to go get them. He did it with Chad Ochocinco, who is really Chad Johnson. He did it with Randy Moss because he respected the game. He even brought over Antonio Brown. He has an understanding of great players. He will bring him over. And I know there's been a lot of conversation about would Cam embrace the Patriot way. Let's go all the way back to Auburn. Cam Newton, at the end of the day, is a winner. He wants to win games. He knows that playing with the New England Patriots would not only give him a chance to win games, it would elevate his brand. Man, if Cam Newton got a chance to go to New England, look out. Sign me up. Give me the number one jersey. I'm all over it.
First of all, anyone going to New England would make sense. If they fit the New England way of doing things, they're going to fit in the New England system. So I don't think that would be a hard question to answer. They have built quite the structure and system in Foxborough. But the question for me is, when you look at where they're moving to right now, they're going in the direction of Stidham. I think that Cam could be a safety net to Stidham. If it doesn't work out, if Cam gets in, fits in, he probably becomes the starter as a New England quarterback, possibly, if Stidham falls on his face. We don't know that, how that's going to work out. If he plays well, what do you have? If Stidham plays well, what do you have? And then now the second point that makes it a complicated one, more so on Cam's side than it would be on the Pat's side, would be compensation. You just talked about the Gucci store, Marcellus. You're not getting a discount at the Gucci store. Well, I'll tell you who would get a discount at the Gucci store if Gucci stores did give discounts. Bill Belichick. And I'm going to tell you why. Because for some reason, they're going to believe in that Gucci store that if we give you the products that you want, Gucci's going to be more successful. And that is the sale that takes place in Foxborough. So I don't know that Cam is going to be okay with, one, being a backup that could possibly stay as a backup, and two, what is your compensation going to be going into Foxborough? It isn't going to be the paycheck that we're thinking he's going to get. So you're going to have to turn that dimmer on, and you're going to have to shine through the shade with a much smaller contract than what you anticipated.
I disagree with y'all, but I can see how y'all got suckered into this.
You hear them sirens out there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You hear them sirens.
Police coming to get y'all.
They coming for them.
For them takes y'all just gave me.
The police coming for them.
You know what?
Yeah, they coming for them.
You guys got to stay. You got to stay fresh with this. New evidence has to give you a new opinion. And I understand where you're coming from, but this makes no sense for Cam Newton right now. Think about it. We know what New England is and the Patriot way. It's a tremendous culture, next man up, and tremendous resources and the best coach ever. We get that. But there is a reason the GOAT is not in the building. Because the GOAT even went on Howard Stern and said, oh, look, man, I don't trust these guys, and I didn't have necessarily the weapons that I needed. So he had to jump ship. If you look at it, this is crazy because in your final audition, if you're Cam Newton, like you're in this make or break year, do or die campaign, are you going to go somewhere where they don't have the weapons, the ammunition for you to go out there and succeed and get that next deal? Who's signing up for that? There's too many unknowns out there. Look at this. Look at this roster. Two of their three best receivers are on the wrong side of 30. You look at their three top tight ends combined, all three of them, three touchdowns in their career. Sony Michel, who I think is a beast, averaged 3.7 yards per carry. So if you're Cam Newton, you just left a situation where you were crippled, and that was physically. But now you're going to go to another situation where you're going to be crippled in personnel and then expect to be the MVP again? Hell no, Cam Newton. Stay still until the right situation presents itself. Coming up, after a weird offseason, the Packers are trying to show Aaron Rodgers some love. But is it too little, too late? Find out next. Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley, still joined by LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks. Let's go out to Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers and the Packers had a pretty wild offseason. Green Bay sent shockwaves throughout the league, trading up to draft Jordan Love. And it didn't take long for stories to surface about Rodgers' unhappiness. Well, now it looks like the team is trying to patch things up, with general manager Brian Gutekunst telling The Athletic, quote, we have one of the best to ever lace them up, and we're shooting for championships for as long as he's here. And we expect him to be here for quite a while. Bucky, have the Packers mishandled Rodgers this offseason?
Not at all. I think they've done great by Aaron Rodgers, and here's why. There's been a lot of conversation about the Packers not getting weapons around Aaron Rodgers. They didn't use a first-round draft pick on a wide receiver. They didn't pick up another one in free agency. But what they're doing is they're building an offense that will allow him to age gracefully at the position. What do I mean by that? They got a big running back in A.J. Dillon, a banger. Matt LaFleur wants to get back to running the offense that we saw him be a part of in Atlanta and also with the L.A. Rams, meaning stretch bootleg concepts, run game, more play action, more big plays. Take some of the pressure off Aaron Rodgers. I think people are forgetting, Aaron Rodgers is 37 years old. As the quarterback gets older, you want to take a little bit off of his plate. More run game, more play action, more heavy sets. We're going to see the Green Bay Packers play a little more traditional style, and that is going to help Aaron Rodgers play better as he gets into the twilight of his career.
Boy, you sure can tell when Bucky hating on somebody. That's all I know.
What are you talking about?
Now you're hating on some Aaron Rodgers. Of course they handled this the wrong way. You can't justify taking a quarterback with that high of a pick in the first round and say, well, you're getting a little older, Aaron. Well, we want to have you age gracefully. Nah, man, forget all that. This is what I'm telling you right now. I'm gonna make this personal. I'm gonna personalize this. What they're trying to do is make that descent and that landing a little bit softer than what it would be if they didn't say tongue-in-cheek things like this. When I was in Washington and the milk went bad and the well dried up for LeVar Arrington in Washington, D.C., I can remember sitting on the team bus pulling up to a stadium that had a three-story Under Armour man standing there, and it was me. Head coach Joe Gibbs says to me, wow, look at that big three-story picture of you, LeVar. Look at all these 56 jerseys with your name on it heading into the stadium right now. Boy, these people really love you. I was on the bench. I was a backup. I was not even starting. I went from Pro Bowler, captain, to being a bench warmer, and I could say I know the reason, but I still don't know the reason why I ended up being a bench warmer. The point is, you're selling all my jerseys. You got this big old ad where they paid all this money to put it on the stadium, and I'm on the bench. That's what's going on with Aaron Rodgers right now. You're saying one thing, but you're thinking something else. They no longer love Aaron Rodgers like that in the front office in Green Bay. So they're just trying to make that fall a little bit softer for one of the guys. I mean, I wasn't one of the greatest ever. He's one of the greatest ever to play the game, and I think they're giving him at least the courtesy to say, we're not going to just flat out say we're done with you and we're phasing you out. But they are flat out done with Aaron Rodgers, and they're starting to phase him out.
Yeah, I'm with you, LeVar, man. They mishandled this entire situation. Oh, let me help you age gracefully by not picking any of our primary needs in the first four rounds, including no wide receiver at all. Oh, that's going to really help Aaron Rodgers age gracefully. Stop with that, Bucky, right now. This is a situation where Aaron Rodgers is watching the draft just like us and finds out they draft not only in the first round, but they move up for a guy, Jordan Love, who regressed his last year and is a roll of the dice in terms of if he's going to make it or not in terms of being a franchise quarterback. How the hell does Carson Wentz get a phone call before the draft and say, hey, just a heads up, buddy. We're going to draft Jalen Hurts, it looks like. Just letting you know so you don't feel affected by it. And Aaron Rodgers, one of the potential goats of the game, can't even get the same common courtesy. Absolutely, they mishandled this situation, Bucky. This is your last go around. Please defend yourself, because the first take, man, it didn't land with us.
See, you're not understanding, because you're not able to separate what the Packers are doing for the long-term future and what they're doing short-term. So the reason why we've talked about the Packers for the last 30 years is because they've had quarterbacks. Quarterback, by your accounts, you would tell me it's the most important position, right? So if it's the most important position, you need to make sure that you have another one in the hopper ready, because they went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. I just told you how they're changing the way that they're playing, being a more heavy run-oriented team to create easy opportunities for Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball down the field. More tight ends on the field, big running back in A.J. Dillon. Play action is the easiest way to create those big play opportunities. That's what they're doing. But I'm going to go back to Aaron Rodgers, because I feel like you guys are in your feelings like Aaron Rodgers. And maybe because you guys have your personal stories. But I'm going to make it easy for you because I know you guys are hip-hop heads. I think you remember when LL Cool J said, if your love is strong, it can handle competition. Sometimes you need to bring the new chick in to help the old chick step up their game. So what they did by bringing the 10 in, Jordan Love, they're saying, Aaron Rodgers, we got this right here for you, but you need to step up your game. If not, she is going to replace you. So it's on Aaron Rodgers to step up his own game. They're not mishandling him. They're trying to inspire him to be a better player.
I see what's going on right now. I see
what's going on right now.
There's a GM job on the table for Bucky Brooks somewhere in the country that we're not aware of.
You sound
like a GM in the front office of an organization, and that's where we're at with you right now, Bucky Brooks. I'm telling you right now, from a player's perspective, from a media perspective, they handled this all wrong. I'm not trying to hear about no LL Cool J and this next other 10 good-looking girl over here, all that old mess you're talking about right now. I'm looking at purely what the facts of what took place are. Aaron Rodgers said all year, we need a little help. We need a little more help. We get to the draft. You take that little more help that you could get. There are some really, really fine receivers in this year's draft. You could have got a game changer in that with that pick. You go with a quarterback. You're saying now to Aaron Rodgers, what do you feel about it? And the man is surprised and says it. He said he was surprised that they took a quarterback. That's strike one and two when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. And now you're going to come out as the GM and say, you know what? We expect to have him for a while. Randall Cobb and Cooks is going to be his weapons? Come on, Bucky. I don't know what team it is that's about to pay you, but don't bring that on speak for yourself. You know they handled it wrong. You know they handled it wrong.
Hey, look, that ain't who he's throwing a rock to anyway. But let's talk about what Aaron Rodgers has to be feeling. And only you who gets the opportunity to have a beer with Aaron Rodgers when the wall comes down can truly understand what he's really feeling. I think Aaron Rodgers is feeling like they're rooting for me to fail. The fact that they didn't surround me with the proper pieces at this age, if anything, this is the time I need more, not less, in terms of the passing game. So Aaron Rodgers knows he's on a two-year clock. It's 2 years and done. And the general manager, Bucky Brooks, can understand this. After 2021, a $39 million cap number, but you can save over $22 million if you release Aaron Rodgers. Mark my words, two and done for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Coming up, Dalvin Cook wants more money, but is holding out the right move for a recipe for disaster. That's next. Speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai. Let's move to Minnesota, where Adam Schefter is reporting that Dalvin Cook is holding out and won't show up this season without a, quote, reasonable extension. Cook is just the latest high-profile running back to hold out in recent years, with Zeke Elliott and Melvin Gordon both pulling the move last season. It worked for Zeke, who got a monster deal, but it blew up in Gordon's face, who caved in week four without getting paid. So, Bucky, you think it will work out for Dalvin?
Not if he holds out, because he doesn't have any leverage. The new CBA has made it so restrictive for guys to hold out that Dalvin Cook is just posturing, but this is a lot of talk about nothing. So the way the CBA works now, Dalvin Cook will be fined $50,000 a day if he misses any time. So that's up from $40,000 that it was under the previous CBA. The other thing that prevents him from being able to do this, it used to be where you could sit out for 30 days before you would lose, like, an accrued season towards free agency. Well, now that kicker starts in fall camp. He misses 5 days, he loses an accrued season. So instead of getting free agency at the end of this season, it then pushes it out another season. So all of this stuff that Dalvin Cook is talking about, he's just talking. He'll show up.
I actually think that he can leverage this to get a new extension deal, but he's going to have to be reasonable on what that figure is. You got to keep in mind, his best campaign was this past year. He made a Pro Bowl. had some pretty impressive runs, some pretty impressive games, 100-yard games. But with that being said, the one thing that the Minnesota Vikings have had to do based off of necessity is play games without Dalvin Cook, all right? He's injury prone. Mm. He has been injured every single season he's been in the league. That's not going to bode well in trying to force and leverage and do a holdout situation to try to get a contract. I don't see it working out the way he would like for it to work out, but do I think he can get a deal out of posturing this way? As you said, Bucky, I think he can posture his way into an extension.
No, it's not going to work. Look at this situation. Bucky nailed it. He has no leverage. And being real, he doesn't have the resume to have the leverage in terms of his availability. He's never played 16 games in any of his three seasons. And last time seen on the football field was in the loss in the playoffs, 9 carries, 18 yards against San Francisco. You think an owner's going to sit there and say, oh, a premature extension. Okay, let's see what he's been up to. Never played a full year. Oh, last time I saw him, that wasn't good. And Dalvin Cook is a talent, is a beast. But I'm just talking about your contract leverage. You have none in this situation. Your yards per carry has gone down every single season since you got in the league. We have to start having these negotiations internally first. Think from the other side of the table and see how they're going to shoot you down before you make this kind of assumption or you make this kind of declaration. I think it's going to come back to haunt him, Buck.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for him to get his money. I mean, we just saw the NFL leading rusher, Derrick Henry, couldn't get a long-term extension. They have him signed to the franchise tag that'll give him $10 million. There is a view in the National Football League where people don't want to pay running backs because they believe running backs have a short shelf life. So for Dalvin Cook, who has already been injury prone, despite the talent, I can see the Minnesota Vikings being like, hey, we will give you a deal at a team-friendly cost. Otherwise, we'll move on at the end of the season. Regardless, you're going to show up when training camp starts, and you really don't have a choice.
It definitely is peculiar. And it's hard to disagree with what you guys are saying. So when I look at it as saying that this could possibly be a move based off of, in my opinion, it has to be an unknown factor, right? We're looking at all the sensible factors as to why he would throw out holdout. It could be something as simple as a relationship. He might have a great relationship with the OC, the new OC coming in. He may have a great relationship with the head coach. It may be with the GM. There has to be a reason why Dalvin and his camp would feel confident enough to float that out there and say that. And they did have some, listen, I know his yards per carry went down this past year, but his amount of yards per game were up. He had production and quite a bit of production, I might add, and was a very, very key piece to this Minnesota team doing as well as they did this year. So maybe it's based off of a conversation he had. I don't know how sensible it is, so trying to find the sense and why he would throw this out there and float it out there, knowing that the running back's position has been devalued the way that it has. And you're not an Ezekiel Elliott in this situation. You saw what he had to go through. You just mentioned Travis Henry and what it is he's dealing with. And being one of the most elite backs in the game, you know, I hope it works out for him. I think he does get an extension. I just don't think it's going to be the amount of money that he's seeking. Or Derrick Henry, excuse me.
Oh, he's not getting it. He's not getting an extension. I played with Travis Henry. Okay, respect. Like, he's not getting an extension.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This conversation is not a shot at Dalvin Cook because he is a beast. It's a shot at what are you thinking and what variables are you considering to make this leap? Like, who's repping you in this situation? Same thing I thought with Melvin Gordon, even though I respect all the representation out there, and I know Melvin's representative as well. It was like, right now? Really? Timing is everything. You have to think about it from three sides of the equation. It's your side, it's their side, and it's the truth somewhere in the middle. And right now, it doesn't seem like Dalvin Cook has enough ammunition to even question the other side, let alone to find himself in the middle somewhere in this situation. if I'm the representative, if I'm the agent, I do this all under the table. I grab ownership, say, hey, we're going to go out and have a few drinks. Yeah, on your yacht. Yeah, we're going to take that out. And I'm going to say, look, here's the game plan. I want Dalvin Cook to get paid because he's a Pro Bowl running back and they have a short shelf life. So I understand this seems like it's a little urgent and a little premature, but damn it, it's time right now to pay him. Because if you look at the top running backs, Christian McCaffrey now is $16 million. You got Zeke, $15 million. You go all the way down to Derrick Henry, who's top five, is $10 million. Dalvin Cook's going to make $1 million next year. So he's like, can we close that gap? I totally understand that. But if you look at the situation from the perspective of his resume, like, you have 1 year that you're banking on. You've been in the league 3 years. You have 1 year over 1,000 yards that can give them incentive to do this. So when you talk about once is an accident, what, twice is a coincidence, and three times is a habit, like, at least make it coincidental that you are great Dalvin Cook, because right now, it looked like an accident. And I know it's not true. I know you're a monster, big dog. But when it comes to this situation, Buck, like, keep it quick. But is there any way this is going to work out for him this year?
Oh, it can work out for him. He can sign a contract, but he's not going to sign a contract that is near Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, or even Le'Veon Bell. He just doesn't have the long-term resume to justify that. The best thing that he can hope for is that maybe he can touch what Derrick Henry is getting. Maybe he can get to that high 9, maybe 10 category. But when you look at his injury history, the fact that he does only have one Pro Bowl, 1,000-yard season, it's just hard to justify paying him. And it also comes at a time when he wants to get paid, Alvin Kamara wants to get paid, Joe Mixon wants to get paid. There are a lot of running backs that are kind of hanging in the balance. The difference is Christian McCaffrey was in two distinct clubs, 1,000 and 1,000 and 1,100. He's not in that category. He doesn't get past the velvet rope, which is why he won't get that big contract.
But just really quickly, Mike Boone, C.J. Ham, Amir Abdullah. Those are the other running backs on the roster. He may be trying to leverage the fact that there really is not there's not a next guy after Dalvin Cook. I mean, let's be clear here. He may be just simply trying to leverage the fact that he doesn't see somebody on the roster that would justify saying, if I do this holdout, try to make it happen that way through leveraging it that way. There's not a backup that's on his level on this roster right now. That could be what it is.
Dalvin Cook's inspiring me. I've been hosting this show for like a week. It's time for me to get a new deal. What's up, man? Let's go to war. Let's do this. What's up? Coming up, we'll give you our latest approval ratings for Cam Newton. And Uncle Jimmy will join us to tell us what he thinks about Cam Newton and what is he really trying to say. Next! Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Now joined by Uncle Jimmy and Unc. Cam Newton posted another one of those cryptic messages. What do you think Cam's really trying to say, bro?
Look here, man. Let me tell you something. I have no doubt that that little Columbia degree must have cost you a pretty penny. Fact of the matter is, when you want to know the truth, you still come back to Uncle Jimmy. All right, I can tell you exactly what each one of them messages mean. That means Cam Newton need to get him a damn job. That means Cam Newton got entirely too damn much time on his hands. Bruh. Cam Newton is that friend of yours that had a good job, but now he done lost his job, but think now he can just show up at your house anytime he want to? You got to tell him, yo, man, I got a family now. And now he just think he can call you in the middle of the night talking about, bro, did you know that Corona and Kobe means the same thing in Swahili? Yo, man, if you don't get your ass off my phone before you get us both fired, Cam Newton is that dude. Cam Newton is that dude that will not be happy until he gets both of y'all fired. He's that.
Oh, man. He's Tommy from Martin. He just always at your house. You don't know what he's doing. Brother man from the fifth floor. That's it. See you tomorrow.